This is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley, in for Terry Gross. We're back with Ted Danson. He co-stars in the HBO series Bored to Death. He plays himself on Larry David's HBO series Curb Your Enthusiasm. And on the FX series Damages, he's played a corrupt billionaire CEO. Terry Gross spoke with him in September. When we left off, they were talking about Danson's work on the TV series Cheers, in which he played the shallow and vain bartender Sam Malone.
Did you feel like you knew this character?
No, Lord, no. I didn't. I had no idea how unintelligent he was. At first, I thought he was making these, because Sam would come out with these things that were funny, and I thought, well, maybe he's being ironic. You know, maybe he's smart enough to know that he's saying stupid things in the beginning. I think it took me about a year and a half before, maybe a season and a half, before I had an inkling on how to play Sam Malone, because he was a relief pitcher, which comes with a certain amount of arrogance. You know, you only get called in when you're in trouble and you're there to save the day. And that takes a special kind of arrogance, I think. And Sam Malone had that arrogance, and I, Ted Danson, did not. I was nervous, scared, excited about, you know, grateful about my new job.
Well, let's hear a scene from season one, and we'll hear the kind of arrogance that you're talking about that your character...
Or lack of.
Lack of that your character, Sam Malone, had. So here's a scene with you and Shelley Long.
Why are you so upset?
You know, this week I have gone out with all the women I know. I mean, all the women I really enjoyed. And all of a sudden, all I can think about is how stupid they are. I mean, my life isn't fun anymore. And it's because of you.
Because of me?
Yeah. You're a snob.
A snob?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you're a rapidly aging adolescent.
Well, I would rather be that than a snob.
And I would rather be a snob.
Well, good, because you are.
Sam, do yourself a favor. Go back to your tootsies and your rat parts. I'd hate to see the bowling alleys close on my account.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you saying that I'm too dumb to date smart women?
I'm saying that it would be very difficult for you. A really intelligent woman would see your line of BS a mile away.
You think so, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, you know, I've never met an intelligent woman that I'd want to date.
On behalf of the intelligent women around the world, may I just say,
whew. It's Ted Danson and Shelley Long. So Ted Danson, was that before you... felt like you could pull off the arrogance of your character?
Yeah, actually it was. I can actually hear it in my voice, you know. I really, you know, I want to sing Shelley Long's praises. I think the first couple of years, Cheers became the hit that it was because, I mean, everyone was good in it, and everyone went on to become brilliant in it. But I think Shelley and that character... hadn't been seen for a while on TV, and I think she just did an absolute brilliant, brilliant job.
You know, I remember when I, in one of my interviews with the late actor Spalding Gray, he said he always had trouble acting on TV because he's so interior and always so caught up in his thoughts. So whenever he was on TV, he said he'd look like really worried and preoccupied, and that you needed the certain kind of like Zen TV face. And I'm wondering, you know, I mean, you went to Stanford, you went to prep school, you're obviously like very well educated. Was it hard to get that kind of blankness or that lack of introspection that Sam had?
I just, once again, I think it was Kelsey Grammer has had this great phrase. It probably has been said before, but I heard it from him, that you need, an actor needs a requisite disrespect for the material. Instead of holding it up as the Holy Grail, you know, you need to have a kind of requisite disrespect for it, because then you're not too eager, you're not too leaning forward. And when I first started Cheers, I think I was very eager, and if this makes any sense, I was tilting too far forward. And it took me that year and a half, that season and a half, to get that more relaxed, leaning back, slightly arrogant, you know, let people vote, who cares, here I am, I'm going to have fun.
Was it hard to create a new life after Cheers?
Well, I had this great solution. I blew my private life up in such a, you know, disastrous way that leaving Cheers became secondary to kind of putting my private life back together. So to answer your question, not really. I mean, it was hard because I missed my friends. But after 11 years, I think we all had been looking for an ending.
And let me just say, I think what you were alluding to before when you said that after Cheers, your life became public in a big way. I think you're referring to the relationship with Whoopi Goldberg and the whole Friars Club thing where there was a roast of Whoopi Goldberg and you worked out a sketch with her in which you appeared in blackface. And, like, boy, they were just like movie stars and politicians and columnists who were so upset and publicly spoke out against you for having done that. It must have been a horrible, a horrible moment.
It was, but I mean, it was of my making, so it was all on my head. It was definitely a graceless moment in my life. But I kept thinking, well, I have to go roast Whoopi Goldberg. We were no longer actually going together at that moment, and we had tried to back out of, of doing this, and they said, no, you have to, contractually, you have to. And I thought, well, how am I going to roast Whoopi when all the tapes and videos I see of people are a Jewish person will be saying horrible things about the Jewish person they're roasting. But it's okay because the Jewish person being roasted is being roasted by Jewish people. Or, you know, the African-American is being roasted by an African-American. So how's, the white kid going to be roasting and doing, an outrageous job for this amazingly outrageous woman? So I thought, I know, I'm not a stand-up comic, but I am an actor, so I'll do a little performance theater. So that was my rationale, and it was clearly a non-press event, we were told. And within seconds, I realized, oh, wow. It was like sticking my finger in a light socket. I was like, it went very still in my head, and I went, okay, 50% of the people get this and think it's funny. By the way, Whoopi knew about it and had kind of signed off on it and thought it was funny. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go for it. 50% got it, liked it. 30% got it, hated it. 20% didn't get it and hated it. So it was this very, graceless and courageous moment of, okay, here I go. And it did offend some people. And sometimes, I'd have to say rightfully so. Other times, it was theater and it was done with love.
Do you feel like you walked away learning anything either about comedy or about race in America from that experience?
Well, yeah. The stupidity on my part, the lack of thought to stand up and go, I'm now going to do race material, and think that it would not draw a lot of heat was stupid on my part. So what did I learn? I learned that I was at a very adolescent point in my life where I thought, I can do whatever I want. It's okay. I did naively think, because I was told that there would be no press, so I thought, okay, this is a room full of people who get this kind of humor, I'll be all right. And that was stupid on my part. Everything is open to the press now.
You know what I found really interesting about what you just said? You were saying that, that you think you were arrogant then. And you were telling us before that you didn't know how to be arrogant. Like you didn't have that arrogance, and you had to learn it to play Sam on Cheers. And you were telling us about the kind of arrogance that you needed to have for the part that you play on Damages. This is like billionaire CEO who's like very arrogant. And it's interesting, you're talking about this moment in your life where you were arrogant for real, you think, and you got really burned.
Yeah. Actually, what followed, a week later, I had a replay, because evidently I hadn't learned my lesson, where I was driving in a car up a hill, and it was rainy, and I was late, and I was driving a little faster than I should, and I could feel my tires start to skid a little bit, and I almost had this literal thought, maybe not quite, but it was like, Ted, you better slow down. The roads are wet. And I went, no, I'm all right. I can handle this. And I spun out and got hit by a pickup coming the other way and slammed into the side of the cliff. Luckily, didn't go off the other end, you know, the other side, which was a cliff. And I was taken out of my car on a board, and it was all very dramatic. And I was fine. The next day, I had a stiff neck, and that was it. But it was, and that was like the moment where I went, whew, wake up.
So what did you do after that, like, wake up moment? What did you change?
Then it was kind of personal, so I won't go into that.
No, it's fine.
It was ending things that I should have ended. It was, I really did actually take care of business. And about a month later, I met Mary. And I don't think that I would have even seen her or she would have even seen me if I hadn't, you know, woken up.
Well, Ted Danson, it's really been great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ted Danson speaking to Terry Gross in September. His HBO series, Bored to Death, just ended its first season.